Okay, everyone. Thanks for coming. This is the event, Crisis of Patriot Day in Pacifica. We hope to have a forum, both educational and action-oriented discussion today over the next few hours, about the situation of Patriot Day in Pacifica and what we can do about it. Judging from scanning the crowd, I think most of you are fairly well educated about what's going on, but I'm sure there's some things you can still learn. So I won't go through all the bullet points on the leaflets. I will say that we have a serious situation at the station and the network, and so far it has not reached the level of 1999 when, as you know, 13,000 people had to hit the streets of Berkeley to demand recapturing our station, our network, but there's serious, serious problems. And sometimes it gets lost in the shuffle, and sometimes people who advocate for democratic reform and accountability in a progressive institution are slandered as being opposed to that institution. It happens a lot with rank-and-file caucuses and unions. It's happened with rank-and-file reformers within Patriot Day and Pacifica. And obviously that's not the case. Wearing this Patriot Day cap today, not just because of my terminal baldness, but because as a sign of solidarity and support for the station and for the network. It's funny, during fundraising drives, we constantly hear the slogans, the true slogans about KPFA being the voice of the voiceless, the voice of the left, the voice of social struggles. We don't always hear that as much outside of fundraising drives. But for many of us, that's what we believe in, and that's what we think KPFA should be for 24/7. So that's about it for right now. I'll turn it over to Tracy Rosenberg.
Oh, hi everyone. My name is Tracy Rosenberg and I'm your co-moderator. Just a couple of logistical things before we get underway. If you have a cell phone or other noisy electronic item in your pocket, if you could turn it off so we don't drive ourselves crazy beeping all afternoon, that would be terrific. Secondly, the bathrooms are right outside the room, I believe right, and down the hallway, men's and women's. Finally, just so people understand, this is hopefully the first of just a number of meetings about this crisis. Roe wasn't built in a day, community radio wasn't built in a day. So there will be follow-up meetings and hopefully follow-up work, and we'll be telling you about that later. And behind you, you will find a tremendous repast. We've got salads, snacks, a roasted turkey, beverages, fruit, and any small donations that you could make to cover the expenses of all this wonderful food would be much appreciated. And there's a little tiny donation box on the food table, so you should feel free to stick a little bit of money in there. Okay, the format of today's forum is that we're going to have two brief panels for you. Each will contain four speakers who are coming from a diversity of perspectives regarding the current situation at KPFA and in the network. Then we're going to break down into smaller groups, focus on a couple of different interest areas, and try to develop some very specific strategies and tasks that will bring us closer to what we hope will be a significant community response to things that basically need to change. And when we talk about things that change, I think it's always good to keep your eye on the prize, and I think some of the things that a lot of us would like to see, and of course the speakers will be going into much more detail about these things, would be community-generated local programming, new community-generated local programming coming onto the air every single year. I think most of us would like to see a genuine unpaid staff bargaining unit that is not only recognized, but is effectively in constant negotiations regarding working conditions for volunteers. I think a lot of us would like to see collaborative decision about programming throughout the network and locally. I think financial sustainability and transparency are also values that we need to coalesce around. And the hope is that this meeting will be the first step in covering the distance from where we are now to where we might be. So with that, I'm going to open it up to our first panel of speakers. Just a little bit about them. They will be four. They're currently three.
We have them in South Pier. He's here. He's just roaming around.
Yes.
Yeah. But number four will be here. Don't despair. Richard Phelps will be our first speaker. He was the local station board chair from 2005 to 2006. He's a former AM and FM announcer. LaLauren Williams is a former LSB PNB member and the Finance Committee chair for a significant period of time. Anthony Best is a news host and producer at KPFA and a member of the de-recognized unpaid staff organization council. And Les Radke is the Pacifica National Election Supervisor from 2006. So at this point, I'm going to hand over to Richard Phelps to start off the first panel.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can everybody hear me okay? All right. The first thing I want to do is make a self-criticism about my history. I didn't recognize the hijackers the first time around because I knew a lot of people at KPFA because I'd done some volunteer work there and some programs over the years. I came up here in 1974. I actually married a woman I met there, and we're still together. And so I gave them a lot of benefit of the doubt in the late 90s. And believe me, that's all gone now, okay? Especially after Rigel Arden's research and her paper and all the other things, of course, I've seen being on the LSB and being involved in this. So, you know, what I want us to think about, which I think is really at the root of all this, is what is KPFA Pacifica about? I mean, I think we have to look at values. I think we have to look at root situations. And I think we have to look at what's going on in this country and put that all together. It's not an abstract, you know, oh, this is a station in the middle of nowhere. This is a station in the middle of a country that is a dying empire. And it's, as we've seen in the last 7 years, been pretty hard on people around the world and dissenters here. So I think we just always have to keep that in mind. We have to be contextual about politically what's happening in this country. And one of the things that I've been, you know, in my 40-plus years of political activity is I've always tried to develop institutions that would mirror what I want society to be. And that has a lot to do with, you know, honesty, integrity, transparency, accountability, democratic process, due process, collaboration versus, you know, top-down leadership. And, you know, if you look at Pacifica principles, they're really great. The problem is, you know, the people that are leading it right now don't practice them. Section 3 of Article 1 says, you know, we're for peace and social justice, and we want to involve people that believe in peace and social justice to be on our staff and our volunteers and so forth. Well, you know, peace and social justice and opportunism do not go together. I'm sorry. Personal agendas that supersede collective agendas are contrary to peace and social justice. And, you know, I'm going to give a few examples here of some things that show us what happens when your leadership doesn't believe in those values. Because I think that makes it very clear. Let's look at collaboration. The unpaid staff was decertified. I was on the LSB when that was done. There was no collaboration. Management didn't say anything to us. What about this problem with the unpaid staff? They didn't say much to the staff either. They just did it. What about the de-officializing of the program council, taking it down from actually having power to make decisions to a voluntary, you know, advisory institution? There was no collaboration on that. It was just the magic wand. Boom, done. So people say, you know, you have to collaborate. You have to work with these folks that are running things. Well, that's fine if they're willing to work with you. But they have demonstrated over and over and over again that they want to run things with their basic patronage and cronyism mentality, their non-democratic tyranny of the majority. And, you know, I've only had a few minutes here. I could give you a million examples of these things, and I actually am working on a book called The People's History of KPFA, and someday I'll get that out, because I think all of these things need to be chronicled. But I'm just going to give a few examples today. I've given some already. Another example of lack of collaboration was their edict about calls to action, telling programmers they couldn't tell people to go to peace marches. Hell, I'm a 26-year liability specialist attorney on the board. They didn't come and talk to me about whether there's liability issues about that. I could have told them the reality that there are none, but they said there were, and they told Miguel Molina, oh, you can't say be there to a peace march, which is ridiculous. Of course, within 3 weeks, the corporate council and the FCC council backed up my opinion, and they kind of gave in on that. But, you know, there's not a cooperative feel here at all. You know, there's a couple of other things I need to dig out of here. You know, we had this situation with the election where Dan Siegel, the interim executive director, comes out and says that one of the groups here is, you know, doing unprincipled things. Well, if telling the truth about somebody's political history and the positions they've taken and the dirty tricks they've done is unprincipled, we're in deep trouble. What was unprincipled about that was him, as an administrator of the organization, to open his mouth and take sides. That is grossly improper. Well, then guess what comes along next? You read an article in the Berkeley Daily Planet. And I can give you the site for that if you want, but you can search and find it. Cheryl Gendelman comes along and says, oh, we praise Dan for what he did. What's wrong with this picture? They're praising him for interfering with an election. Next we have Cheryl Gendelman files a lawsuit against Pacifica to get the election certified because they didn't want people questioning it anymore and putting pressure on, you know, the National Election Supervisor. So what does Sherry get for all these wonderful things? Suing the organization. You know, I talked about filing lawsuits for directors' inspection rights many years ago. Some of you knew about that, and we finally got some grace there, although it's recently been taken back by the new administration. But, you know, I was slandered and attacked and vilified for even raising the possibility of seeking a writ of mandate to allow the absolute right of directors. Sherry Gendelman actually files and serves a lawsuit. She gets appointed chairman of the PND. That's what I mean about patronage and cronyism. You know, a couple of years ago, Mark Hernandez was secretary of the board, and there was a battle going on about one of the staff members who no longer worked at the station. We didn't know that at the time. They did, because Lisa Rothman was his executive producer, and he stopped working in March, and they kept saying, oh, his absences are excused. His absences are excused. Well, one time they didn't vote to excuse his absences, but guess what? Mark Hernandez, in his grace to them, because he's one of them, went and changed the vote in the minutes. And I caught him and busted him. Then he tried to alibi out of it. And, you know, he got caught. And what happened to him for that? This year, they appointed him parliamentarian for the board. That's the kind of person you want being parliamentarian, somebody who does not have the integrity to report the minutes properly. I mean, what I'm trying to show here is the values of honesty and integrity don't exist with the people that are running this station and the people that are dominating the national board. The national board, as I call it these days, what I call the network, and if you have a historical reference, you'll understand this. It's the Confederate stations of Pacifica, because all the little tyranny of the majorities at each station don't ever want to enforce any of the rules on anybody because they don't want them enforced on them. The other thing that's been horrendous, and it comes right along with this, is what I call the fund drives now, the alternative home shopping network. All they're doing now, and I've been around KPFA for over 30 years, all they're doing now is playing pre-produced videos by somebody else and selling them to you. The worst of that is, though, that they only play, you know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes of a 90-minute tape. And then if you want to hear the rest of it, you have to buy it. Now, even KQED doesn't do that. They play the whole thing. They pitch to it, but they play the whole thing. So what we've done is we've created two classes of listeners. I mean, there was a Howard Zinn and a Michael Eric Dyson speech a year ago that they did. They've never played those speeches in its entirety on the air, and it's been over a year. But they sold them at several fund drives. But this takes the cake. I want to play this for you. They were pushing a program called the Great and Mighty Walk, which is a very interesting program. But the Great and Mighty Walk, in the last fund drive, I'm going to play a little tape for you just to show you how deep they've gone off the deep end with this commercialization. This is Philip Moldari and the other morning show person pitching on this, and I just want you to hear this because you'll understand when I tell you what it means.
In this video documentary, 92 minutes in length, is absolutely a collector's item, unavailable anyplace else. It's titled A Great and Mighty Walk, and it chronicles the lives of African-American people going all the way back to the time of Columbus, actually, all the way up to the present. We're thrilled that this video documentary, unavailable anyplace else, mm-hmm.
once again, it's not available outside of KPFA. KPFA made a special agreement with the distributor to make this available to those who subscribe right now to KPFA with your $150 gift, which is about...
All right. I got online 20 minutes after that, and I purchased this the next day. It's not available anywhere else. They were lying to us, to sell it to us. You know, I mean, is Madison Avenue taken over KPFA? I mean, first of all, I don't know. I just wanted you to understand that, folks, because it's really an important concept that we play programs for people, not for money. I want to play another little tape here, and I just want to speak a little bit about our movement's internal problems. This is Michael Moore from SICKO. It's just a little thing where he's talking at the end about the notion of how to get things working and why they can do things better in Europe.
We live in a world of we, not me. We'll never fix anything until we get that one basic thing right. And powerful forces hope that we never do.
You know, in a very short sentence there, he basically said we have to be collective and not individualistic. We live in the most individualistic country, and it gets involved in a lot of our stuff. Well, you know, the leadership is very individualistic, and the you know, the national board, the people that are running it, LeVarne will tell you some about that probably, about finances, and other people will talk about it in small groups. But decisions are generally made for, you know, political agendas of people and not for Pacifica. So I think we need to think about that. I also think people need to know a little history about our movement. Our movement has had some problems with that, the listener activist movement. Unfortunately, in the past, we have, you know, had splits in our situation, and we have, you know, some people on our supposedly listener activists have endorsed people on the other side. Caused people to get elected, caused people to be elected chair, and, you know, we've had some bad situations where we have had internal disputes where things have sort of gotten ugly on our side, sort of like they do, and we need to get control of that. We need to struggle to be more collective in our own work, be unified, and we have to unite the people around the situation because it's really off course. KPFA could be so much better. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, it's better than KGO. Yeah, well, so is a lot of things. But the potential for this 59,000-watt signal to reach people, you know, during the Bush regime, we lost 5,000 subscribers. What's wrong with that picture? During the Bush regime, we should have gained 50,000 subscribers. So anyway, that's what I want people to think about. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to move on to the next speaker, Anthony Fest.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anthony Fest. I've been doing weekend news at KPFA for about, I don't know, just more than 10 years. I'm also on the local station board, and I was on the program council, and right now I'm also on the unpaid staff council. So certainly putting in the time on some of the various boards and committees and what have you that make up KPFA. As a programmer, naturally I have an interest in what happens at the station. But I do appreciate the listeners who took a sunny afternoon to come over here today and sit in a room and listen to people talk. It really is gratifying. For a good many years at KPFA, we've had an organization called UPSO, Unpaid Staff Organization. It goes back to at least the 80s, possibly the 70s, long before I arrived on the scene. It's had its ups and downs over the years, but last summer it got an unprecedented setback from management. The interim general manager, Lem Lambrigio, sent an email around saying
There's no longer a banishment-recognized unpaid staff organization at KPFA. This after many years of its existence, and to my knowledge, that had never happened before, management saying, we no longer recognize you as the representative of the unpaid staff. The timing of that was pretty clear what was going on. That was a ploy to gain control of the voter list for that year's staff elections to the local station board. The staff elects a quarter of the local station board. And by not having a management recognized unpaid staff organization, then another default standard came into effect, which said management decides who gets to vote in the LSB election. Well, the LSB election came and went, and our progressive candidates on the staff side did pretty well in spite of the manipulations, but even so, management has never re-recognized our organization, even though it's up and running and active. It had its own organization. We chose our council. Right now, we're working on getting an election committee together for this year, where we'll choose another council and amend our bylaws and things like that. So we exist, but management will not recognize us as the representative of the unpaid staff. And not incidentally, the most of the staff at KPFA are unpaid, and most of the hours of programming that you hear on KPFA are done by the unpaid staff. The weekend news is entirely done by unpaid staff. Bonnie Faulkner is unpaid. You know her program, Guns and Butter. Voices of the Middle East and North Africa is done by unpaid staff. Women's program is done by unpaid staff. All the music shows are done by unpaid staff. So perhaps maybe three-quarters of the hours of programming that you hear on KPFA are done by the unpaid staff. And yet we have an organization, and management is saying they don't recognize it. Now, we took action. I and other unpaid staffers took action, shortly after we got that bombshell dropped on us back in August. I sit on the local station board as a staff member, so I drafted a resolution saying management should re-recognize UPSO. And we passed that, and I guess those of us who accomplished that thought we'd won quite a victory, because no one wanted to vote against it, so those who were against it just abstained. But even so, it passed with a vast majority of yes votes. But we weren't counting on is that the management would just ignore it. So much for our board being the governing board. Now, a couple months later, the Pacifica National Board, the governing organization for the entire network, also passed a resolution saying management should re-recognize UPSO, and to date, that's been ignored too. So it seems management, I don't know, they think they're a law unto themselves or something, but we're still fighting, and we certainly would appreciate your support. Please keep up with the news of KPFA. That's vital, that you find out yourself what's going on, tell your friends, coworkers what's going on, where to look. The Bayview newspaper has done a good job of covering the inside KPFA stories. And I will wrap up now, but I've got copies of the resolutions from last year, as well as the statement of support from Media Alliance that we got last summer, which places the derecognition in a good context. UPSO was not really a union as such, because the unpaid staff, for all our dedication, we're not employees in the usual sense, because we're unpaid. But we are a workers' organization, and we think it's quite ironic that pro-labor KPFA, a workers' organization, has been deprived of recognition by management. So stay informed, and please support us, and thank you for being here today.
All right, we have two more speakers on this panel, and we'll have a little 5-minute break to clean out our incident.
Thank you, Tracy. This is Lamina. I'd like to say good afternoon. Again, it's really a pleasure to see everyone this afternoon and to see that you took time out of your day to spend it talking about our favorite subject and the subject that all of us have spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, and trying to continue this important mission called Pacifica. And just want to say that this week being the anniversary of the murder of Martin Luther King, and that this Pacifica Radio the concept was by a conscientious objector to war, and with Martin Luther King being an advocate for peace and for civil and equal rights for all of us, which I guess that I was hearing a newscast and someone was emphasizing that, you know, Martin Luther King was working for the black garbage workers. Martin Luther King was working for everyone on this planet in order for all of us to have the rights that all of us have been given, our inalienable rights. And also, as people have talked about, Martin Luther King was, his message was liberation theology. And that seemed to be getting a really negative, not understood by the majority of the United States and being used to damage one of the candidates for the Democratic nomination for president. But again, just the point is that we as a group and as a people, we have a common thread in what we all, I think, believe, and that is in equal rights and in justice. And coming to KPFA, you know, in Pacifica, you know, we have revenues of approximately $18 million. You know, this is a serious, serious business. It's a nonprofit corporation, and this is something that all of us should take seriously. But when I came to get on the board, I found that the people on the board do not take it as a serious business. They take it as an enterprise that people within their close circle only should have access to and should have the authority to make decisions. And let me say first that I will say there's a lot of stuff that I will not say or that I will make that point because I don't have time. But you can be sure that my thoughts are there, and if I had more time at some other point, I would try to make those points. So again, you know, this is serious, but I found that on the boards, on the local station board, on the national board, that it's not taken as serious that people do not acknowledge or understand or try to take responsibility for their fiduciary responsibilities for this foundation. And I was on the board. I came on the LSB. I was the treasurer. I went to the national board. I was the treasurer in 07 and 06. And before then, I had worked as a volunteer at KPFA, and I was a consultant in 1999. And I was involved in the mediation. I was talking to the press. And all that time, you know, I have put in a lot of time. I worked inside the station. Since I've been on the board, I'm really on the outside. And again, the means and the experience and the skills to govern this foundation is not found in the people and the station. But they believe that they do have that, and they have the response that it is their own means and their own God-given right to manage and govern the station. They really don't acknowledge the bylaws and that these boards, this local station board and this national board, are governing boards. And that's what we're going up against. And again, and I did not run again for the board, and I think that the reason is that, you know, we need to have more of all of us need to come in and put in the time and put in our efforts to really fight and to continue to make these bylaws work the way we need them to work in order to continue this foundation through the cinch, through the 2000, to, you know, through forever. So that's really where we are. And, you know, I looked in the dictionary, and politic is the definition is shrewd or prudent in practical matters, tactful, diplomatic. Then I looked up the definition of gang. A gang is a group of persons working together. And, you know, and I try to look at, you know, how we're really working within the within these boards. And we're not, and it's not political. We're not, like, political sides or having differences. No, that's not political. What we're working with is they're a group of people working together to maintain their control of this foundation. And again, and on the PNB, like the reason, another reason why I chose not to continue is that after working the, all of those years, like basically what we tried to do, and we were successful to some extent in terms of trying to implement like basic infrastructure, particularly in finance, to make things go smoothly and for you to have the information to make intelligent decisions about budgeting and projects. And that we were always going up against, and we never really were totally successful. Like we still haven't achieved having a closed calendar. And people who work in finance understand what a closed calendar is. Every month you close your books, and within a couple of days you have the results for that month. We never had a closed calendar. We never knew exactly when that would happen. And, you know, it's just basic stuff like that. And we had a treasurer, Marnie Tattersall, who's a controller for the local ABC group. And the same thing, just a total frustration of not having the basic structure. And, you know, I work with the CFO, and, you know, we work together. I thought we worked together pretty well. But just in terms of, like, reports, you know, your reports are, like, concise. And we never could get that. We would get like a dump, and you'd have to go in. I would have to go in and spend time to make it so that you can get your variances and all of that. So that even the people in our job, even the people in the station, we were trying to make their job easier so they could see what the spending is, what you need to do, what your projections were for the year. And we have a really, and at the station, we have a really good business manager, and she does a really good job. But in terms of actually putting in financial analysis and reviews, we really could never do that because that wasn't really the interest. The interest is always something other than that. And, you know, and the other reason with WBAI has continuously had problems. And the major reason now is that you have a local station board that does not allow any type of, well, there are some changes then, but doesn't really allow for evaluations of personnel. Of course, WBAI's membership revenue has all just gone down the tube, and they've done nothing because of that little clique, that little group, which is that group of persons working together now. Webster describes it as a gang. I'm not calling them a gang, but this group of people working together have not allowed it to happen. So, again, the other major point I just want to make is that there was always this conflict of interest. Now, we have a foundation council. Now, we have, and everyone are aware that we have these legal cases, and everyone is aware of the legal case down in L.A. Now, that case, when the initial incident happened, the attorney went to L.A. to do the investigation. After then, this attorney is the attorney for the foundation on this case. So, you know, total major conflict of interest. Same thing with the with director inspections. Like, there was an inspection going on. The group from WBAI called this person, and he stopped the inspection. And then another little issue in terms of finance. There was the CFO allowed a former board member to fly to Houston on Pacifica's dime without the authority of the ED. And when we discovered this through our finance committee, that then, you know, he actually tried to get the funds back, although I believe all of it wasn't received. But this type of conflict of interest is what also caused me to, like, to allow other people to come in and actually continue to work, and which is I'm asking all of you to continue to work to make this LSB a governing board, the national board a governing board. And that's what we have to work toward. And thank you very much.
Thank you, LaVonne.
This one? Okay. I'm also glad to see many of you. I've seen most of you at meetings for years, as a matter of fact, and I'm glad that there are people who are still interested. There is a problem, and the problem is that there are most of the people who have questions about the station have either stopped listening or stopped coming to these events, not because they don't have criticisms, not because they don't have suggestions as to what to do, but because they don't know how to do it. There is a bureaucracy that has blocked us. One of the reasons for this meeting, as a matter of fact, is that we break down into small groups and come up with solutions. So I'm glad to see people are still interested in this. However, there's a problem. How many people here are under 30? Raise your hand and look around.
Barb's lying again.
Yeah. When we went to the unpaid staff meeting in Oakland, that was not true. The people at the unpaid staff meeting, there were many people, was it a majority, that were under 30. Mm-hmm. So it's not that people who are under 30 are not interested in these events. Last night, my wife and I went to an event for at-risk students in Oakland. It was dealing with Richmond students. My wife and I were 50% of the white people at the meeting. So it's not like African Americans are not active in the communities trying to change things. And when I talked to them about getting advertising on KPFA, it hadn't crossed their mind. So I would say that the first thing we have to do is to look at our relations, take responsibility, and start drawing more people into the movement. I want to remind those of you who might be interested in Lenin that he had this saying, terpenia, 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 patience, patience, and patience. And what he meant by that is 9 women can't have a baby in 1 month. No matter how many of us there are here, it takes time if we're going to make this change. But the key thing is to be consolidated about the change and understand a couple of things. I'm going to try making this very short. Elections. Those who confuse elections and democracy don't know the first thing about either. They are not the same thing. Elections tend to be struggles between leadership groups. In the country, it's between different elites. Which Wall Street lawyer will run this country for the U.S. Imperium? That's the thing. For the station, it's over control, and politics gets lost in this process. Because politics gets lost in this process, it's up to us to raise the question of politics. When we talk of station governance and we talk of the LSB, now if you can boo, I regard all the people on the LSB as my comrades. They don't regard me as their comrade. I regard them as their comrades. Why? Because these people are against the war in Iraq. These folks, by and large, are against U.S. support for the Israeli massacre in Israel. These people, by and large, are support for single payer. They're in support of minimum wage, they're in support of a number of things. What most of the people that we have arguments with are not supportive of is the way the governance structure works. So, for example, there should be an outpouring of support for the unpaid staff organization. Anybody who thinks of themselves as a worker should understand that it's a good thing for workers to organize. There should be unanimous support for that. That should not be allowed, that you have an unpaid staff organization struggling with elections and that a general manager determine what happens. Does that mean that that person's a class enemy? No, but it does mean that we have serious, serious, serious struggles over that particular issue. And we should be aware that control of the station starts getting removed from politics. We have to enter the political struggle understanding that we have an elite in this country that for hundreds of years has developed a way of thinking globally and acting globally. And too much we think globally and act locally. We have to act globally. We have to think in those terms that if we're going to change something, it's not enough to change something piece by piece. So the first thing has to do with network governance. I don't know if I have enough copies, but I have several copies of 3 appendices And I just want to point out what the appendices are. Appendix 1 has to do with some problems with the election campaign. The most egregious has to do with the fact that you had an interim general manager criticizing People's Radio, which is absolutely in violation of the bylaws. And I quote the section of the bylaws, and you can look at it and make that decision. Everybody should have been outraged that the bylaws in this last election were not followed at all. There's not even an attempt to follow them. They were thrown out. If we don't understand that, then we're still going to keep talking about the bylaws. The bylaws don't exist. We're going to have to make them exist. That's a political struggle. But they don't exist because people are ignoring them. Network governance. Another appendix that I have there has to do with a struggle that Greg Gumma brought up in his blog, which I, you can find indications of it there. And in his blog, he pointed out some of the struggles between Lonnie Hicks and Nicole Sawaya over who even controls the organization. Because obviously, if somebody controls the finances and you say somebody controls the programming, you have two co-directors. You don't control anything unless you control the finances. So even within the national office, you have a very weird structure where you talk of people wanting control, and what you have are two co-directors at odds with each other. I worked in the national office, and I know this to be a fact. In small groups, I can explain what I'm talking about that. And I want to finish. Finances, LaVarne talked about. Technology, I have a brief section on in my handout. And then finally, there's programming. One of the things that the unpaid staff organization pointed out in that meeting the other night had to do with the fact that when we talk of programming, we don't think primarily of how all these people in the communities are really being impacted. I don't think we understand what's happening with at-risk students, what's happening in the prison system, what's happening in the devastated housing community, what's happening with all the people who don't look at Pacifica. Anti-war groups do, but many groups don't look at Pacifica and don't look at the network as the first place they go. That we have to change. We have to change it on two sessions. One is working and making sure that KPFA is responsive, and the other is making sure that people understand that there is this megaphone, this tool, that can help them in their organizing. And yet when you talk to people like the at-risk meeting that I was at last night, of hundreds and hundreds of people, none of them even thought of KPFA because it's not something that they could immediately be involved with. This is terrible. This is terrible. I have some other things here, but I want to stop. I just want to mention, when I talk of the elite has interests in every country on the face of the earth, not just in the United States. And their interests are not good interests. They're not interests that are going to help the people. there's this word that is used internationally called sovereign and managed democracy. And the United States uses the word managed democracy. What managed democracy means is this. It's very clear. Managed democracy is democracy which serves the interests of the U.S. elite. Okay? And then anything outside of that people can do. That's managed democracy. Sovereign democracy is when you have the Iraqi leadership determining what's good for the people of Iraq, not what's good, first of all, for the people who are the elite in the United States, not us, the elite. The only way we find out about these things are to involve more people, not fewer people, in advice, in groups, in committees, in whatever way that we can come up with to start adding more information to all the programs, and that we start thinking of turning the paid staff into producers to help organize these community activists who are very aware of what's happening in Cameroon, or what's happening in Zimbabwe, or what's happening in Congo, or what's happening in all these areas of the earth, as well as all of the communities that are struggling. I hope that we come out of this today understanding that we're going to have to come back together in a month and a half, because we've already planned the date, that we have to think, how do we change things, and that we have to think, we're not dealing in terms of our internal struggle primarily with class struggle. what we're dealing with are comrades that we strongly, strongly disagree with. And if we start thinking in those terms and understand that if we don't win people over who are not on our side, we've lost. Most people don't have our understanding of U.S. imperialism. We have to win the people over who are not on our side and not bring up, you weren't with us a year ago. We're going to have to win them over, and we're going to have to win them over in the tens and the hundreds and the thousands. It's not 5 minutes, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you, Les. We do have one or two more speakers for you. We have one more short panel. But before we do that, we're going to take a 5 minute break and allow you to partake of the delicious festival behind you. But we do need to resume at exactly 3:15.